In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turn holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had come to its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. Well, one day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to his face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word and its truth, and we thank you for this story, which is an encouragement to us. And we thank you for the faith and the patience of Job, that he continues, Lord, to encourage us in our times of hardship, trials, and suffering. And I pray that through your word this morning, you would encourage our hearts as we meet with you and as we worship around your throne. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt like you were ever under attack or under assault? You feel like sometimes the enemy has all his arrows thrown at you? Have you ever been wrongly accused for something? Something that someone accuses you of that you know you didn't do, but yet they assault your character? Have you ever felt and wished that somehow you could silence your enemy and ultimately silence the enemy of our souls, Satan himself? Well, if you felt that way, you're not alone. Jesus, our Lord himself, suffered the attacks of Satan cast at him. He suffered times of intense temptation in the wilderness for 40 days. But today we look at the story of Job, a man who experienced intense suffering directed at him by Satan, but yet a man who continued to praise God and eventually brought the enemy to silence, that the enemy had nothing else that he could say or no other charges that he could lay against him. Job was a godly man. It says in the book of Job, opens up by saying, "In the land of Uz," not to be confused with the land of Oz. There's a difference. The land of Uz, it's believed, was in northeast part between Israel and the Mediterranean of the sea, up where Persia is, kind of up in that area. And he lived there. Book of Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. Job lived in a time, it's believed, maybe around 2000 BC, even around the time of Abraham. And he was a godly man. The Bible says that he was a man of integrity. Verse 1 says that he was blameless and he was upright. In fact, God himself mentions that Job was blameless and he was upright, a man of great character and integrity. He was a man of faith. It says that he feared God and he shunned evil, a man who walked with God, who had a deep, devout faith. He was also a devoted father. The Bible points out that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he offered daily prayers and sacrifices for his children every day. When they would gather together, he was afraid maybe they did something they shouldn't, and he would pray for them and intercede, and he interceded for his family. He had that great faith that he passed on to them. He was also a wealthy man. The Bible says that he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. That's a lot of wealth in those days. In those times, wealth was measured not by income, but by an agricultural society. It was measured by how much herds and livestock you had. And that was 3,000 camels. Imagine that, Gene. 3,000 camels, 7,000 sheep was a big flock. He was really wealthy, but he was also a blessed man. And then it says, the Bible says he was the greatest man among all the people of the East, all the people that lived in his time. A little bit about Job, but you know his story, that Satan came and challenged God and said Satan had the belief that Job was only praising God and serving him and worshiping him because God had blessed him so much. And Satan said to God, if you'd let me take everything that he has away, I guarantee you, Satan said to God, I guarantee you that he will curse you to your face. Because Satan was convinced that he was only serving God because he was blessed. But God knew something about Job that Satan didn't know. And God was about to silence the enemy for good. In Job's bouts with Satan, we learn how to silence our enemy when he puts his assaults and attacks at us. First thing we discover is in round one. In round one, the enemy is silenced when we worship God no matter the circumstances we face. Job's life was blessed. But then God gave permission to Satan and said, okay, you can inflict him, but don't touch his life. We'll come back to that later. He said, but don't touch his life. You can take what he has if you want, but don't touch him personally. So if you read the rest of chapter 1 as the story unfolds, in one day, as his children, all his children were together, they were killed. Where they were meeting, the house collapsed on him. And then all their flocks were attacked by terrorists and taken away. And in one day, he lost all 10 of his children. He lost all that he owned, all that he possessed, and lost all his family, all his income, and all his property, and all he had, possessions, in one day. Now, it moved him. How would you respond if that hit you? If you got the news, and if you read the news, this chapter 1, as one, he gets one bad news about his children, and then another servant comes and tells him that he lost his flocks. Another one comes and tells him he lost all his everything he had, the rest of it, what he had. And imagine his heartache getting one bad news after another. But his response, we see in chapter 1, verse 20. At this, Job got up and he tore his robe. That tearing of his robe is a symbol of great anguish. And you can imagine, put yourself in Job's place. If you lost all your children and all your possessions and everything you had in one day, wouldn't you have great anguish in your heart? I mean, you can understand how he felt. That emotion and expressing that raw emotion to God, there's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes we feel that when we're going through hard times, we can't tell God we're angry. God understands how we feel. He welcomes that. Aren't you thankful he does? He can handle it. And he expressed that grief to God. But yet at the same time, he shaved his head. He was in great mourning, but he fell to the ground. And what did he do? He worshiped God. Even though he had lost his family, he had lost his income, he had lost his children, he lost everything. He didn't shake his fist in God's hand and blame him. He had anguish, he had grief, but yet he still worshiped God no matter what the circumstances. How do you think the enemy liked that? That silenced him. He had nothing to say. The enemy is silenced when we worship God no matter the circumstances because it shows that we love God for who he is and not for what he does. Satan was convinced that the only reason Job loved God was because of the blessings that God had given him. But when we worship God, no matter what circumstances we have, when things are going well, when they're not, when we're experiencing hardship and great anguish and pain and loss, and we still can worship God in the midst of it as Job did, it shows the enemy that we love God because of who God is, not because of what he's done for us, not because of the blessings we have, not because of the good things he's done. And God has blessed us all so much, hasn't he? But that's not the reason we worship him. We worship him because we love him, right? And that silences the enemy. And he has nothing left he can say. Because Job showed that. He worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Naked I've come out of my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Great faith. It also shows, when we worship God no matter the circumstances, it also shows that we acknowledge God as the owner of all things. Notice what Job said. He said, the Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. And Job acknowledged that what he had was given to him by the Lord. His children were on loan to him from God. And if the Lord wanted to take them, he was able to. What he had and the flocks and the herds he was given was given to him on loan by God to use for the Lord. And if the Lord wanted to take them, he could. Job understood that. It's the same with us. When we praise God, no matter what the circumstance, we realize that God is the owner, not us. And God gives to us what we have. And because he gives it, he can take it if he wants, right? Because it belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. And Job understood that. And sometimes he allows us to have those things for a time, and then he may take them from us. But that's God's choice as the sovereign God. It also shows that we trust God, even if we never know the reason why. Job never understood and was never told about that contest in heaven that took place that we got the benefits of knowing as the scripture, the story was recorded for us. But Job never knew about Satan coming before the Lord and putting this challenge. He never knew that God gave permission for Satan to do this. He never knew that it really was a test. And he was never told that. He didn't understand why he was going through this suffering, why he was going through this agony, intense suffering that he did. He never understood or was told the reason, but yet he still trusted God. Later on in chapter 2, he says, "Though he slay me, yet I will still trust in him." That's great faith. It's not wrong to ask questions, and Job questioned God. There were times, if you continue to read the book of Job, Job questioned God many times. "God, why am I going through this? I know I didn't sin." His friends were convinced that he did. But he said, "I know I didn't do anything wrong before you. I know I'm right before you. I don't understand why I'm suffering. Why are you allowing me to go through this?" And it's not wrong to question God when we go through hard times and times of loss and pain and agony. But still trust him. God doesn't have to give us the reason. Sometimes he will. Sometimes he may choose not to, but we do believe that God is good, right? And everything he does, he's a good God, and everything he does is for our good. We may not be able to see it or ever understand why. When God finally did show up to Job and answer his questions, God said, "Job, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I laid the foundations? Where were you when I did all this?" And Job basically said, "Okay. You're right. I'm your God. I'm not. I don't understand. I trust you." And the enemy is silenced when we get to that point. We may never know why, but God does. And we can trust him. We can always trust God, right? He's trustworthy. So, the score. At the end of round one was God 1, Satan 0. But did Satan give up? Was he silenced yet? Did he have enough? Not yet. He's silenced when we worship God despite the circumstances, but sometimes he still may attack. He doesn't like it. It takes It angers him, but that doesn't silence him completely. So we have to go to round two. Round two, the enemy is silenced when we maintain our integrity despite his repeated attacks. Satan didn't give up. Look how chapter two starts. So on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before them. We'll get back to that, what that means in a minute. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? There was no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright." Again, called him, God called him that. "A man who fears God and shuns evil and still maintains his integrity, even though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to his face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted Job with painful sores from the top soles of his head to the top soles of his feet to the top of his head. And Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself as he sat among the ashes. And his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Boy, that was helpful, wasn't it? Maybe her anguish of losing her children and maybe led her to say that. He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And Satan was silenced again. Because Job maintained his integrity despite the repeated attack of the enemy against him. What does that teach us? Well, why does that happen? Because he has nothing left to accuse us of. In the second round, Satan came to God and challenged him again and said, "Well, okay, he passed the first test with his possessions, but it didn't affect him personally. Yes, he lost what he owned. Yes, he lost what he possessed and lost his children, but he's still healthy. Let me take his health away from him. I guarantee you, if I afflict him with pain and suffering, he's going to curse you." God says, "Okay, you can inflict him with pain, suffering, whatever you want. You can touch his body, but do not take his life." Again, God limited him. We'll come back to that. And you know what happened? He said, "Shall I accept not good? Shall I accept bad, not good from the Lord?" And he maintained his integrity, and Satan was silenced. The enemy is silenced when we maintain our integrity despite repeated attacks because he has nothing left to accuse us of. Satan accused Job twice. Once, that he served God because he was blessed. Second, that he loved God because he wasn't suffering for it. And in both times, those accusations were proved wrong. His accusations came not only from Satan, but also from his friends. If you read down in the end of this chapter, his friends hear about his suffering, and they come to sit and to bring him comfort. And we've all heard of Job's comforters, right? How'd you like to be comforted with Job's comforters? They heard about his suffering, and they came, and for the first couple days, they sat in silence with him. And that was good. And sometimes people have said to me, when someone's going through suffering or a hard time, I don't know what to say to them. And I feel uncomfortable being around when someone lost a loved one or they're going through hard times. I really don't know what to say, and I'm really uncomfortable with that. You know what? Job's comforters would have been okay if they would have did what they first did. They sat in silence, and they didn't say anything. And when people are going through hard times, often they don't remember what we say, but they do remember we're there, right? But then once they opened their mouth after 7 days, they started to speak. Would have been better off if they would have stayed silent. Because they were convinced, and they jumped on him one after another. "Job, the reason why you're suffering is because you must have done a horrible sin. Oh, God is really not happy with you. Look how he's punishing you for your sin." And they were convinced, and they were accusing him of all that he must have done something bad before God. Satan was accusing him that he only was serving God because of what he was blessed. People love to bring accusations, and most of all, our enemy loves to bring accusations against you and me. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, and he loves to accuse us of the things that we do wrong, and he'll throw them up in our face and say, yeah, Dan, you say you love God. You're a preacher, and look what you did. Look how you lost it today. And he loves to point that accusing finger and loves to whisper those accusations at us. But the good thing is, despite that, he is proven wrong with his accusations because they don't stand. When we are covered by the blood of Jesus, no accusation against us can ever stand. Aren't you thankful for that? Because our accuser can accuse us all he wants, but on the other side, we have our defense attorney, Jesus Christ, who stands up for us on our behalf and says, but Father, he is my child. My blood has covered them. My blood has paid the price, and no accusation can stand against us. Aren't you thankful for that? And that silences the enemy. There was nothing more he can say. There was nothing more that he could say against Job because his integrity was maintained. And through the blood of Christ, there is no condemnation in through us in Jesus. Praise God. That's something that we sing and rejoice about, isn't it? That should be enough right there to cause us to jump out and shout glory of what he's done, that it can't stand. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says, who will bring a charge against those who God has chosen? And the answer, anyone that can bring the charge against us really is God and Christ, and he won't do it because we belong to him. So thank the Lord that accusation is done. The enemy is proven wrong. What he accused Satan, what he accused Job of only loving God for his blessing, ended up being proven false. He's proved wrong by his accusations, and he's proved wrong by our faithfulness. Because Job's faithfulness to the Lord, he remained faithful despite the repeated attacks. He remained faithful to the Lord despite the suffering. He remained faithful to the Lord despite losing all that he had. Because Job had a deep love for God that Satan could not see. Now remember, it says that the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan is limited. And he is limited in his knowledge. He does not know, or can he ever know, the future. He only knows what is told to him. And he does not know your heart and mine. Bible says that God knows the intents of our heart, but Satan doesn't know our inner thoughts. He can entice us, but he doesn't know what we will do. God knows what we will do, and God knows how we'll respond, but Satan does not. And God already knew that Job was going to stay firm to him no matter what, so he allowed him to go through the test because God knew that Job's faith was that strong. Satan didn't. God knew that Job was going to be faithful. And Satan is limited in his knowledge. And when we are faithful, our faithfulness shows that his accusations against us, what he accuses us of, or what he entices us, that we're going to be faithful to the Lord. And if Satan had known the future as God does, then he wouldn't have known that Job would have remained faithful to the Lord. And he would have stayed strong. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he has nothing left to accuse us of as well, because he's proven wrong, because he has nothing left to attack us with. At the end of round two, he had thrown everything he had. Satan had thrown everything he had at Job, and Job remained faithful. And he was silenced, and there was nothing he could do. And the enemy is silenced because he has nothing left to attack us with, because he is limited in what he can do. Notice what it says, chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 1 the same way. It says, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. And God said, where were you? And he said, from roaming to and forth from the earth. He is limited in what he can do because he has to submit to his authority. It says here that Satan had to come and submit to before the Lord. Now, when God created Satan, he was an angel, created being. And his desire, you know, the heart within him, his desire was to assault higher than God. He wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to call the shots, remember? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be in control. And that's what he still entices us, we want to do. He had that rebellion within him. But even after the fall, when he rebelled, it says that he still had to present himself before the Lord. He still was limited by God. He still was under the Lord's authority. God still has him under his thumb. And God still has him under control. Aren't you thankful for that? He's limited in what he can do. His power is not full. God's is. He is limited, and he will not allow Satan to touch us without his permission. He wasn't allowed to do anything to Job until God says, okay, I give you the permission. And even then he limited. The first time he said, don't touch him physically. The second time he limited and said, don't take his life. But even so, he limited what Satan could do. That's an encouragement to you and I, because when we are going through those hard times and we are being assaulted by the evil one, God has limited what he can do to you and me. He said, this is how far you can go and no more. And he limits his power, and he limits what he can do to us. And he also limited in how far he can go. He said, you can't take his life. And God will not allow Satan to take us beyond what he knows we can handle. That's an encouragement. God knew that Job was able in his faith to handle all of this. And so he allowed Satan to inflict it on him because God knew that Job was going to remain strong. When you and I are under attack of the evil one, when we're going through adversity and hardship, we may feel we're going to cave under it and we can't endure it. But God limits what Satan can do, and he will not let him bring upon us more than he knows we can handle. Hear what the word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And God provides that way of escape. And he won't let Satan inflict on us more than he knows we can handle. God knew that Job had a strong faith. When you find yourself really assaulted by the enemy and you feel, how much more can I handle? Rejoice, because God's saying he knows you're pretty strong. Because he knows that you can handle that through him. And he gives us the strength, and he has limited what the enemy can do and how far he can take you. So the score at the end of round 2 was God 2, Satan 0. And the game was over. Satan packed up and he left, and he was silenced. And he said, and he realized he was defeated, and he was silenced, and there was nothing left for him to say. Whenever you and I worship God despite the circumstances, and we maintain our integrity despite the repeated assaults of Satan against us, the enemy is silenced, the accusations can't stand, and there is nothing left for him to say to us. Job is a great example of a man of great faith. And James encourages us in the book and said, we've all heard about the patience and endurance of Job and what the Lord has brought about through him. And he serves as an example for us on how to live and be encouraged and follow, and be faithful for the Lord in this day. When you're under attack, look to Job and how he has silenced the enemy in his assaults. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Job, and Lord, all the suffering that he went through, that you allowed it to, because you knew his faith was strong enough, and you wanted to show to Satan that his accusations can't stand. You wanted to show to Satan that Job loved you for who you are. And Lord, he is an encouragement to us, and we can learn from him in our times of hardship and adversity that you are a good God, that if it happens to us, that you've allowed it for a reason. And even then you limit it so that your glory may be made manifest. In those hard times, Lord, may we maintain our integrity in you. No matter how many times we are assaulted by the enemy. And may we worship you in all things. And again, you call us to rejoice no matter what the circumstance is, because you are worthy of praise. and honor and glory because you are good and faithful. So, Father, thank you that you are the victorious one. There is victory in Jesus. You have crushed the head of the serpent. You have destroyed him. His doom is certain, and we are on the victorious side. So faith enables us to live in victory, and it's in Jesus, our Lord's name, we pray. Amen.